This podcast brought to you by Pittwater Anglican. Come hear Pete Burrows live Saturday, 14th of September, sharing money tips and traps in difficult times. Visit pittwateranglican.org/money. This is a Hope 103.2 podcast.
And the Oscar goes to...
And the Oscar goes to...
Man, what do you want to say?
Please be kind, especially when we don't know what's going on.
So what I got?
Movies are dreams that you never forget.
Hey everybody, welcome to The Watch List. Yes, we are back looking at film through the lens of faith. And I'm going to say it twice, not three times, but we are going to be talking today about Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, the new Tim Burton movie with Michael Keaton back in the beloved character from over 36 years ago that we were introduced to so long ago, but yet he's back in cinemas. But also back in the Watch List seat is Ben McKechnie from Hope Media. So glad to have you here. How you doing, Ben?
Excellent. Russ, thank you for having me back.
It sounds great. So I'll just say Ben McKechnie. That's how I will do it here today as we get ready for this.
Won't sell anywhere near as many tickets.
Exactly. Well, hopefully we'll go viral with this whole thing today. So we're going to be talking a bit about the new film Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, which is the sequel, if you can believe it, coming over three decades later from Tim Burton. It's the story of the Dietz family. If you can remember, Winona Ryder is the young Lydia who almost married this bio-exorcist is what he was called, Beetlejuice, who wanted to do all that he could as a ghost to try and help get their family home to no longer have humans in it, but actually just have the ghosts in them. Well, we kind of left him behind after a few decades. We come back and all of a sudden Lydia actually has a reality show. She has a daughter who is estranged from her in so many different ways, but then a tragedy occurs and they must come back to this home where Beetlejuice does reside. And all of a sudden her daughter, Astrid, who's played by Jenna Ortega, wants to see who this Beetlejuice fella is. And so all of a sudden we see a new opportunity being reintroduced to Beetlejuice. So Ben, here we go. I'm kind of curious what you thought about this movie, but do you remember the last one? Did you even see the last one? And do you remember anything about it from the 1980s?
I don't remember so much about it from the 1980s, but I did watch it again as we headed into watching the sequel. And I'd actually forgotten a lot about the story and found the story really quite imaginative, which you tend to expect from Tim Burton if you've seen any of his films. But this is almost quintessential Tim Burton, don't you think? Russ, Beetlejuice, like it has got his visual creativity, but also gothic elements and some outlandish stuff mixed with a bit of heart, which Tim Burton tended to do over and again. So going back to it, quite liked it. I was surprised at how Beetlejuice only shows up about half an hour in. But other than that, not a bad screwball comedy ghost afterlife romp, if that's what you're looking for.
Exactly. And a bit of macabre to go along with it all. I mean, I think that definitely Tim Burton, for those of you who aren't familiar with or maybe not know when we're talking about Tim Burton is the one behind Batman, Edward Scissorhands, even Alice in Wonderland, and also even Corpse Bride for those, and also most recently Dumbo. So from Disney as far as the Dumbo film. And his films definitely have a darker edge to them and definitely kind of take us into a psychological side of life that probably most other directors don't. So he definitely takes you kind of to the edge of kind of the darker side of your whole soul, if you want. But, and so with this one, I felt like they did. I like this one more than the original. And I remember because the original actually was only his second film after Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And this one was so Beetlejuice kind of introduced the world to Tim Burton, and then Batman came right after that, and then all of a sudden he was off into the stratosphere. But now this one...
Russ, you're saying that you like this sequel, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, more than the original.
Yeah, I probably would say I did. I mean, maybe I didn't connect with Tim Burton as much back in the 1980s as I've done as far as getting older. I've really appreciated some of his films, his later films, probably even more so than his original films. I wasn't a huge fan of even the Batman. But
really?
This one I actually enjoyed. I enjoyed this one more. Yeah.
Oh, Russ, you didn't like those Batman movies? They're fantastic. They really combine like the camp and the kitsch, but also the kook and the creepiness, you know, from the 60s Batman through to like early 90s Joker, Jack Nicholson Batman, like Batman movies. Oh, I reckon they were a really great demonstration of how good Tim Burton can be at mainstream filmmaking, but from a slightly ghoulish edge. I'm really surprised you didn't like those movies. Now we're getting off the track from Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
No, wait a minute. I didn't say I didn't like them. It was actually a very different way of kind of taking the kind of the superhero film, as it were. I probably would say if I was to go down, we won't go down this path too far. If I was to enjoy the Batman series, I probably would say I would like the Christopher Nolan's version more than say the Tim Burton's version. Just personally, that's kind of where I was going to be. But Tim Burton as a director, I've really come to enjoy and really like quite a bit over the past few years. And even though it is definitely darker, but it is kind of a refreshing way of looking at it. Also, how he has no problem, I think, like you were saying, with the camp or the kitsch kind of way of kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge. This isn't really, don't take this too seriously because this is really just meant to be funny. But yet it still kind of takes us down kind of some of those darker paths that you don't necessarily see in too many films like this.
No, one of the things I enjoy about the Beetlejuice movies, if that's the right word, Russ, is how Tim Burton just unashamedly goes into territory that so often, even in polite company in real life, we don't talk about the afterlife, the divide right. between life and death, and whether there is any interaction or not between the two. And clearly in Beetlejuice and now the sequel, this version of the afterlife is just one that's totally constructed, built on all kinds of different ideas, this mishmash of ghost stories and where we could end up for eternity, all that sort of stuff. And I also liked about the sequel that it basically did what all sequels do, which is it's another version of the first film. But given it's a couple of decades later, it does a good job of reinventing its own wheel. And there were some good twists and turns in the story that I didn't expect were coming. There's some great new characters, particularly Willem Dafoe as an actor playing a cop in the afterlife is just fantastic. I've got no idea why Monica Bellucci is in the film. She looks like she's going to be great as like almost a second villain or a first villain. Not really sure, but she just meanders around a little bit. I didn't quite understand that. And I think similar to the first one, Russ, Beetlejuice, played again by Michael Keaton. And it doesn't matter that he's aged by three decades because the makeup job on Beetlejuice makes you look just terrible anyway. I'm surprised again that this sequel seems to underuse its title character, and it actually has a lot more time for like Winona Ryder's character, even Catherine O'Hara's on this occasion. Yeah. Still, Beetlejuice is kind of sidelined while all these other people are running around trying to work out what on earth is going on between life and death.
That's right. He's the title character, but really he's almost a supporting cast member in a certain way. Even though I will have to say that with this, the first film and this film, it looks like he's having a ball. I mean, that's what I love about it, is that Michael Keaton is just going, let me just have a blast with this. I get to do whatever I want and be able to kind of do all the different things and just give these great lines that have been given to him, as well as, like I said, the Willem Dafoe character was phenomenal. I think they're really trying to lean into, especially from the Wednesday series that just came on Netflix with Jenna Ortega, and which also was directed by Tim Burton, that's why they kind of lean more into the Jenna Ortega character. I'm not going to go into one of the key spoilers of the film, but it was probably one of the best twists of the film that really kind of, I think, lifted this beyond even the original, in the sense that they just really kind of took it down a different path that it wasn't expected, but it was a really good way of kind of going in and introducing kind of a whole new side of this afterlife that maybe you hadn't thought of, especially the introduction of the Soul Train.
Hey, it's Ben from Hope Mornings.
And Laura from Hope Afternoons.
The Chosen series is back for season 4.
And you can join us on our Following the Chosen podcast as we break down every episode.
From tackling scripture in a new way to humanizing the disciples and Jesus.
We unpack what the Chosen phenomena has to offer.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and on the Hope 103.2 YouTube channel. Thought it was actually funnier at moments than the original, and including another character that played by the actor Justin Theroux, who is basically like an embodiment of sort of the worst of modern masculinity, and like he's pretty funny. But then in contrast with that, Russ, I think given the change in society in the past couple of decades, Beetlejuice has much more of a focus on its female characters. And in those intervening years, not only has Jenna Ortega been on the rise through the Wednesday series, as you mentioned, that Tim Burton directed, but also Catherine O'Hara and Winona Ryder, their stars have also risen since the original Beetlejuice.
That's right.
And so they are much more prominently known around the world than they were back in the day. So it makes sense that in this film, they're actually kind of elevated a bit more, whereas Beetlejuice isn't sidelined, but yeah, I do think he's a bit of a side character in his own movie. And it's not necessarily a pro-female movie, for want of a better description, but strangely, it becomes almost that, or at very least, it's more about its female characters than it is about its male. And I thought it was sensible that Beetlejuice, for the kind of extremes that he might go to, particularly on the sexual front, which the original hinted at much more so, they pull that back in here. Like, there's just strong hint in that direction, which makes total sense.
Yeah, and I think that's where you have to definitely see where the change in the over the three decades of where humor, what we leaned into, what we expected, and also what even they were able to do as far as the lines they were able to cross. Because this film does definitely take you to the edge, and when it comes to the styles of humor and some of the things where the grotesque elements of kind of the afterlife that occur that are you have to be comfortable with, and I think that's something to be said to the audience, is that this definitely has some very confronting elements to it. It's still dealing with the afterlife. It's still dealing with murder and all these other aspects and other ways that people, horrific ways that people have died in the past. And so just to be aware of that, that it definitely has some very confronting content as you're kind of going in. But
you're right, Russ. Even though it's played so for laughs constantly, you still are being met by, this is a horror comedy.
Right.
And there are horror moments in it, and there isn't as much blood and gore and guts and grisliness as you might get in some other more vicious and nasty films. But that's not to say that if you're going in, and really, if you're going to see Beetlejuice, you should be expecting to be at least confronted or challenged by what you're going to see. But if some reason you weren't, let us just make it more clear that even though it's a horror comedy and you're meant to be chuckling along, it's still very macabre, still ghoulish and grisly at different moments, including the way in which you are seeing different people on the in the afterlife and how they died. You're right. Some of that, including a key character from the original film, what you see of that person on the other side is difficult to forget.
It is completely difficult to forget. And so again, if you're a Tim Burton fan, if you don't mind that side of it and the horror along with your comedy, as far as in that mix, you'll enjoy this film. But if it's one that you're thinking that, hey, I enjoy Dumbo, this is not necessarily the one that you'd want to go to follow up after that. But I do want to kind of lean into, as we kind of head towards the end of our time together, that this one really goes hard into, I mean, this whole series, if you want to call it a franchise, really looks at the afterlife in so many different ways. And for me, you kind of go, wow, I just don't want to even have to experience what they're showing here on screen, even though some of it's quite funny, some of it's really humorous, there's some of the best characters, along with Beetlejuice and Bob, which I just, a character who has no lines.
Oh, yeah, Bob. Yet. We should have mentioned Bob.
We're going to love Bob. But I love how it opens the door to the conversation of the afterlife, that there is a spiritual realm. And even though God doesn't really get a mention in this film at all, but I think that what we can understand and know is that we can have that discussion. And that's probably what I would really want to encourage people to do after seeing a film like this, is really understanding what you can understand and know about the afterlife, and specifically what we can understand and know from the Bible, that there is actually a hopeful side. I mean, because this Tim Burton's world, not hopeful. I mean, it is gross, and it is not a world that anyone would want to go into. If you want to say hellish, that would definitely be a great way to be able to go through and describe it. But I think that you don't have to sit there after you leave a film like this, if you were to really kind of consider that what the Bible has on offer is a very hopeful afterlife, and again, one where you would be following Jesus. But I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are on that, if it's worth even kind of engaging with and considering, And is the afterlife really a discussion point that you'd want to have after a movie like this?
Well, it should be, Russ, because you're exactly right. Beetlejuice and now the sequel are just totally about that. And you don't get that many films that are. And one line in Beetlejuice really stood out to me. Among the ebbs and flows of the plot, and there were boring moments and there were really elongated moments, including the finale. But overall, you know, it's pretty engaging. One moment stood out to me where a character says the afterlife is really random. And that sums up the afterlife as presented by Tim Burton through Beetlejuice. And there's this real grab bag of all these different ideas, but they're all still largely within the control of humans, as in it's stuff that we can still find a way through and we can work out how, if we want to come back or not come back and all of that sort of thing. But surely as you go into a movie like this and coming out afterwards and talking about it, you could start talking about, is that actually real? Like, does any of that happen? And because we know that death happens and we know that life happens. And also a really great thing about Beetlejuice is it does acknowledge that there are supernatural things beyond our understanding, beyond our touch that we can't explain. But where do we go, as you're pointing out, where do we go to actually find answers? Because Beetlejuice would suggest that you would just come out of that hopeless, actually. You would come out just thinking, well, this is all just a bit of a joke and I don't know what's going to happen on the other side. But I agree with you. There are places that we can go for answers, and the Bible is a great place to go, largely because Jesus demonstrates to us in his life, death, and resurrection how we can best understand our own life and death and eternity. I think he presents the most compelling case for understanding what is going on in this life and what goes on in the next, and the fact that there is a next, Russ.
Right.
You can delve into that from a movie like Beetlejuice, because it's such a stark contrast with the humor, but the hopelessness that's happening that's in Tim Burton's universe of the afterlife.
Yeah, totally. And I think that that's where you don't go to a movie like this looking for the answers for the afterlife, but I think it definitely gives you a springboard to have a discussion about it and what you can definitely talk about it. And I think you can, as you said, bring a hopeful answer to that. Unfortunately, you can just say Jesus's name once and that's enough to be able to kind of go through and understand and know who he is. You don't have to say it three times. So, but I'm curious, would it go on your watch list, Ben?
It's a yes, Russ. And with the cautions that we've mentioned along the way about the horror comedy and the grisliness and the ghoulishness and the fact that this is about a demon and the afterlife and all of that sort of stuff thrown in. But in terms of a sequel that you didn't expect was going to come several decades after, that does improve on some elements of the original, it's a yes.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, for me, it would go on the watch list, especially for those of you who are Tim Burton fans. I feel like he's finally got his mojo back. I feel like the last few years, he hasn't necessarily had as big a hits as he's had in the past. And this one definitely is an opportunity for you to be able to kind of engage with. If you enjoy that style of humor, if you enjoy his storytelling, I think this is one that you'll love. But also for me too, I love the fact that I would be able to have a conversation afterwards about something that really does mean something to me. And that would be our eternal souls. That really is an important conversation to have. But not that this film gives you the answers, but the Bible definitely can. And that's where it really opens the door for me. And so I probably would say yes for the watch list for myself. Well, Ben, thanks. This is great. I always love it. Ben McKechnie. Always great having you along. Love having you on. And so again, this is Russ Matthews and Ben McKechnie with The Watch List. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And also check out our YouTube channel. You can go to Hope Media and be able to see all of the different videos that we've done of the films that we've done over this past year. And be sure to go through and check out the Hope 103.2 website, as well as Real Dialogue. That's reeldialogue.com. Be able to see where you can find out more reviews and also other resources that are available to you. So once again, hey, hope you enjoy Beetlejuice. And thanks so much for coming along to the watch list.